Thank you, Father. I know that the entrance of your word giveth light. It bringeth light and it giveth understanding to the simple. And we rejoice in that light this morning. We are glad, O Lord, we make ourselves available to receive understanding from you and impartation of your word this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I say to everyone here this morning, lift up your heads. Woo! The scripture says, lift up your head, O ye gates, in Psalm 24. And let the King of glory in. Well, he wants in this morning. Glory to God. You know, he doesn't force himself on anyone, you know, but he will, you know, he will wait and see if we will give him permission. Glory to God. So will you give him permission to enter in this morning? Glory to God. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And he says again, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You notice how he says that twice. I'm reading from Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Salah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I lift up my head this morning. And I say, let the King of glory come in. Glory to God. Come on in, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, the Lord's been blessing us and we thank him, for, you know, he's been blessing us. And, prophetically, there is a word for us this morning that I want to share with us. And we trust that it'll inspire our hearts this morning. I'm going to start here in the book of Hosea. Now that's Hosea. And we're going to read from chapter 6 of Hosea. And Hosea is the book that's right after Daniel, just before Joel. So we're going to read Hosea chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3. It's going to be my lead off scripture this morning. But stay with me right here. After 2 days, he will revive us. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Glory to God. So, you know, right away, we know that this scripture is prophetic in the, you know, global scope of the things that God has. In God's, you know, global plans, this scripture is prophetic. If you take one day as 1,000 years, because the Bible does say that, right? With the Lord, you know, a day could be 1,000 years, but we're talking about 2 days and then the third day. Well, prophetically, today is the third day of December. Glory to God. And so, on this third day of December, I have a prophetic word to declare unto us. Because it says after 2 days, you know, and well, 2 days just passed. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So I am going to be prophesying and the answer of peace. Everyone that's in this room today or anyone else that will listen later on, the answer of peace is coming to you from the Lord on this third day of December. Well, there are many dimensions to this number 3 today. This is the third month that we've been doing this room. You know, we started in October and in November. And we know that in October, he started to revive us. He started to kindle us again, you know, and so forth. Well, we had some word. First word we had in December was, October was, you know, as we approached the month, which is October 1st, we read from Genesis 8, where it said, and on the first day of the 10th month, you know, after the waters had been receding gradually, we saw how the Lord said that then the mountains, the top of the mountains became visible. So we read that in Genesis chapter 8, verse 5. So let me read that to us again before we get going. I'll start from verse 3 of Genesis 8. And the waters returned from the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month. That's that verb again, rested, on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until that 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the top of the mountains seen. So the Lord gave us that verse to jumpstart and kick off this room on that first day of the 10th month this year. And we said, look, the mountains are becoming visible. Things are coming within reach. Even the things that we hitherto thought, you know, could not be done. Hallelujah. So the Lord, and then we went to November. Glory to God. And the Lord began to also speak to us in November. Hallelujah. And he gave commandment and said to them, ye have dwelt in this mount long enough. So it was time to make a move. And the Lord began to tell us again that something good was beginning to happen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So on the first day of the 11th month, right? According to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord gave them commandment. And so he said to them in verse 6, that ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. It is time, you know, to get and possess some of the things the Lord already promised. So those were the promises that he gave us in October and November. And today, now we are in the third month since we started this room. You know, I keep wondering what the Lord is going to say, but he gave me this scripture. And this is what we are doing today. Today is the third month since we started this room, but it's also the third day of this month. So prophetically, it has a dual meaning in this Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2 today. After 2 days, well, we've been here for 2 months. Well, you can count a day as a month. You can also, actually, this scripture also counts a day as 1,000 years. And we see that after 2,000 years, the great revival that God will send and close out the age. We know that, you know, and the promise of the former and latter rain is all in this scripture. But I'm not talking about that this morning. Let me just take it literally here. After 2 days. So we had day 1 of December. We had day 2 of December. Today is day 3. What is he going to do? Well, he will raise us up. Glory to God. So I am going to be prophetically speaking the lifting up, the answer of peace that will go into totally lift you up. That's the word today. And somebody can say amen to that. You can type your amen into the chat room. And if you will receive it, if you will believe it, you will receive it. So that's the background for today's room. God's been reviving us for 2 days. He's been reviving us for 2 months. But now, today, the anointing of total lifting in the answer of peace. And that's what we're going to be dealing. And I will, by the grace of God, call out whatever he puts in my mouth today. It's yours for the grabbing. You know, there is an answer of peace, you know, that he will raise us up today. You know, the work that God has been doing, even in this room, you know, it's kind of like that gradual, receding of the waters gradually, you know, and then the water being seen. Well, you know, he started kicking something off. It was amazing. October 1, and we've been here every day. And then November, he told us, look, enough already. You know, you've been in this one place. You know, move forward and get something. And so he energized us again. And I heard testimonies, you know, from this room and elsewhere, you know, people, you know, how the Lord is moving. Even in our local church here in Arizona, you know, the people latched onto some of the word, prophetic words that were given. And there were great testimonies. And today, we give another prophetic word over this third day of this month. 2 days now, and day number 3. The answer of peace. Well, the first time we hear that phrase used, which is, you know, we might say the law of first mention, as some people say, in the book of Genesis, chapter 41, and we see it in verse 16, when Pharaoh was looking for someone to interpret his dreams. Joseph, of course, having been in prison, you know, thrown in there for a crime that he did not commit by the virtue of the wife of Potiphar, you know, sending him into prison because he wouldn't lie with her. And he, interpreting the dreams of the baker and the butler, it went well. It didn't go too well for the baker, but it went well for the butler. And Joseph had said, look, remember me and so forth, because I'm here. You know, just get me out of here. You know, I'm here for a crime. You know, I was sent here from my father's house. I did nothing wrong. You know, and all that. Look, it looked, you know, in fact, if you read the story of Joseph at that point, it's almost like he was beginning to break, you know, because he's like, look, all these things happening to me, which nothing I did, you know, and all that, just remember me and so on, you know, and you could feel, well, at least I could feel when I was reading it, I could feel the, you know, the distress, you know, in his and despondency in Joseph's, you know, language. But something good started to happen with Joseph. And let's pick up the story. I'm going to get to this answer of peace in a minute. But this is a good story. I just can't pass it by. You know, so it's a good story. We'll pick it up at Genesis 40. They say the king was offended against two of his, two of the people that served him, you know, the baker and the butler. And he put them in the prison, put them in word, in the captain of the guard, into prison, the place where Joseph was bound. This is Genesis 40 and verse 3. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Now, this Joseph, we know, he always had favor. I mean, he was actually a favor magnet, this man. You know, wherever he went, despite everything that the devil threw at him, favor come at him as well. I mean, favor. There was always favor. Some kind of favor to pull him out of the pit. Some kind of favor. Even the things that his would-be enemies, among his brethren were doing to him was leading him closer into God's favor. And it didn't look like it, but all those things had to happen to him in order for him to be right here where we are right now. In fact, the wife of Potiphar, I mean, when Joseph was in prison, he already had favor. I mean, when he was in Egypt, he already had favor. God gave him favor as soon as he got there and in the house of Potiphar. And Joseph, he stood his ground, his moral ground. He said, I'm not going to do this great sin, commit this great adult. I mean, Joseph, I want to point this out. When Joseph was saying that thing to the wife of Potiphar, we did not even have the Ten Commandments yet. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. Moses was not yet born. This was way before Moses. Yet inside of Joseph, you know, there was this great morality and the fear of the Lord. I said, no, I'm not going to do this thing and commit this great sin against the Lord. He wouldn't touch it, the woman. He wouldn't do this great adultery. There was no Ten Commandments then. You know, so we see that, look, the law of morality and the fear of the Lord is even before commandments. It's not the commandment that put the fear of the Lord in our hearts, folks. This man Joseph had the fear of the Lord before there was any Ten Commandments. You know, so the fear of the Lord comes from the Lord. You know, and this man had it. And he wouldn't do it. And then when he went to prison for it, you know, God was setting him up also. He didn't know it at the time. Everything just looked getting worse all the time, despite the promise. I mean, despite what he saw in his dreams. And it looked like he was going to be great. Looked like his brothers were going to bow to him. Looks like he was going to be a great ruler. None of that was in the horizon when he was thrown into the pit, when he was carried into slavery, when he was thrown into prison, and everything. But, you know, let's see what happened here. There was a good heart in Joseph, because in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 6, Joseph came to these baker and butler folks, you know, and he saw them and he saw that they were sad. Now, the kindness that was in the heart of Joseph, and even the fact that he was sensitive, led to a lot of things. You know, so there are so many pieces that you can bring out of the story of this Joseph man. That so many things. Here, if he hadn't been kind to these people, and he hadn't noticed that they were sad on this particular day, all of this would not have happened. But one day he came to them and said, why look you so sadly today? I mean, you've been in here, but this particular day you look sad, more sad than you've ever looked. Now that element of concern in his mind led to something, you know, that triggered all of this. But they told him that, you know, well, we dreamed a dream and we don't know it and we're troubled by the dream. So he interpreted them. Well, unfortunately for one, it didn't work out well. For one, he was to be restored. But he said to him, look, when you are restored, remember me. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. This is verse 15. And here also I have done nothing that it should put me in this dungeon. I mean, so you can see the distress in the voice of Joseph here. You know, this thing is finally getting to him. You know, all the things that have been happening. And he told him, look, remember me. Just make mention of me to Pharaoh and bring me out of this dungeon. That's in verse 14. Just bring me out of this dungeon. Get me out of this place. This thing was finally getting to him. Well, I don't know if it was beginning to crack, but it's getting to him, you know, because, you know, everybody can only go so far. But anyway, the man did not remember him. 2 years go by, and he still did not remember him. And so finally, one day, in order that God will bring Joseph out of that dungeon, and in order, you know, this is how the scripture used to put it, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which he gave to Joseph, and that his dreams, of which God had given him years before might be fulfilled. Then God, that's my way of saying the story. Then God began to give Pharaoh a dream. And that word might be fulfilled, which God spake to Joseph. God gave Pharaoh a dream that none of his soothsayers, magicians, and as wise men could interpret. And for that the word of the Lord to Joseph might be fulfilled, God finally reminded the chief butler, Joseph. So all of these things, God was orchestrating. So Joseph comes before Pharaoh and interprets the dream. And not only did he interpret the dream, he gave a solution by incredible counsel of what needs to be done. So that's the story, which you all know. But I thought it was a good story to bring up. But when he stood before before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, look, I've heard that, you can do this and you can give interpretation and you can do all these things and so forth. Here's what he said to, let's pick it up in Genesis 41 and verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and brought him out of the dungeon. Joseph shaved himself, changed his raiment, came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that I interpret it. But I have heard said of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So that's the first place that we see it spoken exactly like that. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And I say to everyone that's in this room today, you have a dream. Maybe the enemy comes. Remember, the devil's role is to come, John chapter 10 and verse 10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal your joy. Kill your dreams. Destroy your vision, your life, everything. This is what the enemy tries to do. But Jesus said, no, it's not going to work, because I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So the answer of peace that Joseph would give to Pharaoh as he began to interpret the dream. And then the rest of the story. Now, what is an answer of peace? So that's where our room is going to dwell on today. Well, let's fast forward to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. As a matter of fact, I may start it from verse 5, just to give you a little context. So Philippians chapter 4, so we're talking about the answer of peace. Now, stay with me now, because I'm going to give some prophetic word in this room today. But I got to lay this background. I love to use the scriptures, and we do these rooms so that your understanding will be based on the word of God and not on how well I can preach or any such thing. So let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's Philippians 4 and 5. Your moderation, well, that means, communicate your values to people. Let them know your position on all things. Don't hide your values, because the Lord is coming soon. Let your values be made known. Now, be careful for nothing or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, so let's think about that for a minute. What are your requests? And I'm going to pull out some examples of in the Bible today of some requests that look like, well, there's just no way. There's no answer. There's nothing forthcoming and so forth. And how the answer of peace came. So we're going to lay that as a background before we declare prophetically the answer of peace to everyone in the room today. Remember, our lead of scripture today, if you joined after we started, is Hosea chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. After 2 days, the Lord will revive us. And in the third day, which today is the third day of this month, he will lift us up. And I call that lifting up the anointing of total lifting to give you the answer of peace on such a day as this. So when you put your prayer and supplication to God with thanksgiving, which many of us, all of us, always have one thing or the other that's eating away at us, you know, something that we're going through for ourselves, for our loved ones, or something, you know, that we're praying about all day, all night, and so forth. Now, this is not just the casual prayer. Casual prayer doesn't, nobody has anxiety over the casual prayer. But this is prayer that would give you anxiety, that has given you anxiety, that is tugging at you night and day, you know, and all these things. And here is the answer of peace. Verse 7 of Philippians 4. And the peace of God. Glory to God. When you, this burden, this thing that has burdened you, you know, you can't seem to, you get so close and then you miss it. You get so close and it looks like, I mean, something that God promised, but then you can't get it, you know, and it looks like you are almost getting it, but then you are not. Whatever it is, you know, this thing, on such a day as this, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, may I freely speak unto you of the answer of peace to you today. God will give you an answer of peace. If somebody can say amen, that would be great. God will give you the answer of peace. And what does that mean? Well, it says, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your minds and hearts through Jesus. Now, what is he talking about? You're talking about prayers that are burdening your heart. You're talking about things that are weighing you down. You're talking about, you know, something that you're trying to get that is eluding you. But he's talking about peace. That's exactly right. This verse 7 does not say God will bring the answer. I mean, God will answer the prayer, or God will do this, or God will give you a breakthrough, or God will do the other thing. He didn't say any of that. What he said is that, you know, all these things that are bugging you, that are giving you anxiety, when you are committing it to God, it could have been for years, months, days, weeks, we don't know. But this thing is bugging you. And as you are thankful to the Lord, he will give you an answer of peace. He will settle your heart with peace. Now, in this Walking with God series, one of the things that we want to bring out is this exact verse. That God wants us to come into the place where we have total peace in him, no matter what's going on. You know, you come into that place, you have total peace. You know, whether the answer is there, I mean, whether the storm is removed or not, you have peace. You know, it's not that God needs to remove the storm. It's that you need to have peace. Even in the eye of the storm, you need to have peace. You know, and this is the answer of peace. This is the kind of peace that God gives, you know, even all hell is breaking loose around you. You know, the turbulence, the storm, everything is trying to, you know, overthrow the boat. But listen, you know, the water never came into the boat. Only the disciples were just panicking. You know, the water was doing its thing outside the boat, you know, and that water is not coming into your boat. It may toss the boat up and down, but you are in the boat and you are secure. And the answer of peace is, let us go to the other side. You've heard me say that all the time. But in this case, whatever the situation is that you are facing, God gives an answer of peace. God doesn't necessarily remove this problem that you are facing, but he gives you an answer of peace. And what is the answer of peace? Well, let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is how God gives you an answer of peace. He will by all means. Glory to God. Read it with me, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Hallelujah. By all means. And you might even put necessary there. By all means necessary, he will give you peace. That's God's answer of peace. Now, will he remove the storm? Maybe, and maybe not. But whether he removes the storm or not, the answer of peace that God will give you will settle your heart. That's what he says. It will settle your heart in the matter. You know, and if you're praying and you get an answer that doesn't give you peace, then that's not the answer that God gives. God's answer will always bring peace that settles your heart. Even when God rebukes us, even when he corrects us, even when, you know, he chastises us, whatever he does to us, it will always bring a settling peace. And when you are trying to make a critical decision in your life, listen to this, and you are looking for an answer from God, if the answer that you think you got, and you embark on, let's say there is a, you know, a Y, you know, in the road. You can go this way or you can go that way. You know, if you take one way, you know, and you don't have peace about it, and it's not God. God will give you peace by all means, you know, no matter which, what thing it is. Now, he may not remove this situation. God, Jesus had no intention of removing the storm. But he was going to give them peace through the storm. In the book of John chapter 14 and verse 27, this is the kind of peace that Jesus would give in any situation that you are in. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Oh my goodness, but I give my own peace to you. Peace by all means. Peace in the middle of this storm. Well, the world's peace is when there is absence of trouble. That's the world's definition of peace. Well, if there is no trouble, then you have peace. That's the world's definition of peace. God's definition of peace is peace by all means. Even in the eye of the storm, you still have peace. When you're in the middle of the tornado, when you're in the middle of anything, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, but I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because my peace I give it to you. Don't ever be troubled at anything. Don't be amazed with any great amazement. Don't let anything shake you, because I have given you my peace. In the world, John 16 and 33. If you compare Jesus' peace with the world, say, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You will. Because that's the way this world is built. There is just no way around that. You know, Jesus didn't even say, you know, oh, you might have tribulation. No. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now, in the world, remember, we are in this world, but not of this world. We are a kingdom within a kingdom. When you are in the kingdom, you are in Christ. And you are in Christ, you are in the kingdom. You have peace in Christ. Even though you are in the world, you are not of the world. So the things that bring trouble in the world should not take away your peace, because you are in Christ in the kingdom. I don't know how else I can say that. In the world, while you are in the world, you will have tribulation. But because you are in me, while you are in the world, you shall have my peace that I give to you. This is it. The answer of peace settles all controversy. Glory to God. Let me read a few other scriptures to you, and then I'm going to read you some examples in the Bible where they got this answer of peace from the Lord. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, let us read at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God. Let means, look, it's not just, you know, circumstantial. It is intentional. You direct your heart into the peace of God. That's right. You take the word of God to divide between the soul and the spirit, which we have taught in this room concerning Hebrews 4 and 12. You direct your hearts. Listen to the next verse after that, Philippians 7, 4, 7 that we read. The next verse there shows you how to direct your heart into the things that bring peace. You know, he says in verse 8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, you know, these are the things you should direct your heart into. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Well, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, direct your heart in these things. It's the same thing as saying, let the peace of God rule in your heart. This let means you direct your heart into the peace of God. You direct your heart into thinking about these things that are pure and lovely, of good report, that have virtue and praise. And you direct your heart away from the things that are trying to steal your joy, quench your fire, steal your peace, destroy your dreams. You direct your heart away from those things. Direct your heart into the peace that God gives. Glory to God. Well, let me give you quickly some examples here of, you know, how God gave some people who are really troubled an answer of peace in the Bible. And then we're going to come to our own declaration of the answer of peace for you today. Now, this is a prophetic release in here this morning. Every room is different. God gives a different anointing for each room. But today, it is a prophetic release that God will give you for this room. Hallelujah. But before I go to those stories, let me read Numbers 6 and verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. That's an amazing prayer. Let's break it down and see. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Or keep you from what? Well, Jesus prayed the same prayer in John 17 and 15. I pray not that you take them from the world, but that you keep them from the evil. If we believe that the Lord, God the Father, answered that prayer that Jesus prayed, then our heart need to be settled. Jesus already prayed for you that the Father should keep you from the evil. Glory to God. You know, and Jesus, you know, taught his disciples to pray the same prayer. When you pray, he said, say these things, you know, keep us from evil. You know, lead us away from temptation and keep us from evil. So he said that. And Jesus already prayed that prayer for them when he was leaving. This was when he was still with them. And when he was leaving, he prayed that prayer for them. The Lord lift up his countenance, oh my goodness, upon you. You know, the psalmist, when he was depressed, when the people thought of stoning him after the story of Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, the Bible says he encouraged himself, you know, when anytime that people thought, you know, things were going crazy for him, he encouraged himself. And you can see how did he encourage himself? Well, you'll find that in Psalm 42. That's how he encouraged himself. And verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, he will tell his soul. Now, this is his spirit speaking to his soul, putting his soul in its place. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Remember, Numbers says that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you. This is the answer of total lifting. It's an answer of peace. The glory of God, the countenance of God in the face of Jesus Christ will come unto you to give you total lifting. In the face of being down, when you are down, when the answer is not coming, not forthcoming, you're praying about these things, you get so close, but then no such chance. You know, almost you get it, but you slip through your fingers. And it looks like, what in the world is going on? You know, and it looks like everybody else, they pass you by, you know. And some people are even, you know, looking for promotion on their job, but they keep passing them by. You know, I mean, some people are idle, you know, all day long, you know, the story of the late hour workers, you know, nothing seems going for them. But the Lord says, look, he will lift up his countenance upon you and he will give you peace. Now let's read the story of Hannah. Hannah was a woman that was troubled because she could not have children. She was troubled. You know, she, and it looks like everyone around her had something good going for them. You know, her husband Elkanah had two wives. The other wife, you know, things were going, you know, well for Penina is the name of the other wife. She was having children. Hannah was having no children. Now, Elkanah was the husband of them both. And it looks like year from year, you know, the wife that had children provoked her. You know, provoked her. And also her sons. And they made her to fret. And you can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, this man Elkanah had two wives. The one was named Hannah. The other one was named Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And then it came to pass that, you know, her adversary in verse 6 also provoked her soul to make her fret because the Lord had shut her womb. You know, and although Hannah was loved greatly by her husband, every time he gave her a worthy portion, you know, and so forth, but the Lord had shut her womb. And all these things, you know, shower gifts upon her and everything, that did not solve her problem. Yeah, her problem was she didn't have a child. So every other nice thing that her husband did, you know, set a table before her in the presence of her enemies, give her a double portion, make her, anoint her head with oil, take care of her to do everything to make her, you know, to ease the pain, did not ease the pain. Because her pain was that she didn't have a child. So whatever it is that is your pain today, the Lord will give you an answer of peace. So it happened that year by year, you know, she cried unto the Lord. She wept before the Lord and she wept because her adversary provoked her. So she wept. She wept and she would not eat. You know, so, and then her husband came to her and said, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Why will her heart not be grieved? What kind of question is that? You know, am I better than to you than 10 sons? Am I not better than 10 sons? No. This woman, what she wanted at that time, husband was something else. 10 sons. No, I just want a son. You don't even tell me that you are better. Now, when people are going through a crisis, there is nothing. This crisis of some deep wound in their heart. all these other things may not pacify them. You know, you may resemble that remark in here today. You know, you're going through some deep hurt, something that you're praying God to do for you, something, some lifting that you need, some blockage that needs to be removed, but it's not happening. And there are some other things happening around you, you know, which you say, well, you know, I mean, just, you know, there's some other things. No, but she went in the bitterness of her soul and she prayed before the Lord in verse 10 and she wept sore. And she was in the house of the Lord. And then she vowed a vow and said to the Lord, if thou would indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, Lord, and forget not to thy handmaid, and will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. Now, she paid specifically for a son. She didn't just say, give me a child. You know, and this again, look, let's be specific when we are asking, especially when you are in this kind of distress. Week after week, month after month, year after year, no breakthrough. Be specific. You know, people sometimes, I often correct people not to pray about God should bless me. You know, well, yeah, God should bless you, but then put an underlining thing there and be specific. Don't ask God for anything. Ask God for something specific. You know, the scripture that Jesus said and said, how many of you being a father will give a stone to his son when he asks him bread, or give him a scorpion when he asks for egg, or give him a snake when he asks for fish? Ye then being evil, if you know how to give good things to your children, what about God? Well, but you see, the son asked for bread. He did not ask for something. If the son had asked for something and the father gave him a stone, that would have been fine because he asked for something. If he had asked for something and the father gave him a scorpion, that would have been fine. He might have been cruel, but it would be okay because that's what he asked, something. You know, he gave him a snake, it's still something. But no, he asked for bread. And if he asked for bread, the father cannot give him a stone because he asked for bread. So this woman asked for a man child. She was specific. She didn't just say, give me a child. She wanted a man child for whatever reason, best known to her, because, you know, sons were, you know, they everybody looked at sons in those days, and Penina had sons too. And so she wanted a son, you know, and, you know, that probably she can say, yeah, you know, and all that. So she prayed. It came to pass. She continually praying before her, the Lord. Eli, who was the priest back then in the house of the Lord, he saw her afar off. She come into the temple and she was praying. And she was praying and her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out of her heart. So this man thought that she was drunken. I mean, you know, what is this that she's doing? You know, so, but she was praying in her heart. You know, the movement was in her lips, but she wasn't speaking it out loud. And God was hearing her nonetheless. So Eli said to her, look, how long will you be drunken? Get away from your, you know, drinking. The woman said, no, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I'm not drunken. I've neither drunken wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not that handmaid as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief have I spoken unto thee. Glory to God. The answer of peace was coming. And the man of God said to her, go in peace. Hallelujah. And the God of Israel shall grant thee thy petition that thou hast desired of him. Now that's an answer of peace. The Lord God of Israel will grant you an answer of peace concerning your petition. And I say, I declare to everyone in this room today, may the Lord God Almighty, your Father that is in heaven, may he grant you an answer of peace concerning that thing that has troubled you and so forth. And I'm going to declare it in a little bit, but hang with me while I cover these lessons from the Bible. So this woman got an answer of peace from the mouth of the man of God. And well, after she heard that, well, you know, she said, look, well, let the Lord, you know, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went, you know, said, look, don't think of me this way. You know, just think of me, you know, graciously. So the woman went her way, you know, she began to eat and her countenance was no more sad because she got an answer of peace. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. This woman got an answer of peace. Even when there was nothing happening, immediately her countenance was no more sad because she received an answer of peace from God. That situation that had troubled her for years, when she went back home, when her adversary provoked her again, when the sons of the other woman provoked her, she no longer was troubled. She had received an answer of peace. Glory to God. The situation was not removed. But now she has an answer of peace. And her countenance was immediately changed. Glory to God. And she was no longer sad. She got her appetite back. She began to eat. Her husband would wonder, what got into this woman? You know, praise God. Hallelujah. And she worshipped. She got up, she worshipped. She got up, she worshipped. Praise God. And she no longer was sad. She turned her prayer around. Turn her prayer from that, oh Lord, remember me. Oh Lord, you know, my enemy provoking me. Oh Lord, this and that. She turned her prayer around. Her prayer was now, Lord, oh, I thank you for the answer of peace. Glory to God. And her mind was settled. She had peace. And once you get into that place where you link up with the answer of peace, it's done. It is done. And the Lord remembered her. Her heart was settled. And it came to pass that she conceived. Glory to God. And she brought, look, all that travail, all that crying before the Lord, and so forth. When this son was finally come to her, he was going to be, she didn't know it. Although she said, well, I'm going to present him to the Lord. But she didn't know that this man was going to be a great prophet. This young boy. And that's it. She received an answer of peace. You know, can somebody say praise the Lord here this morning? You know, for an answer of peace. There are other people in the Bible that received an answer of peace in dire situations. Even people that went up against things that could, you know, cost their lives. The story of Esther. You know, Esther, Uncle Mordecai told her, look, you know, you go in before the king and you plead for us. And Esther said, I can't do that. I cannot just go, you know, before the king, you know, otherwise I'll perish. You know, and Mordecai told her that, look, don't think that just because you are in the house, in the king's house, you will escape these things. This thing will happen to you too. And God will raise up somebody else. And then you will find out that God will deliver the people. But how do you know that God didn't put you up, you know, for such a time as this? So finally she said, look, don't hold your peace. Better go do something about it. So anyway, she said to them, okay, you guys go and pray for me. This is Esther chapter 4. Gather the Jews in verse 16, gather Shushan and fast for me and do all of these things, you know, and I'll go into the king. And if I perish, I perish. But she's looking for an answer of peace, you know, and he said, look, if the king will hold out the scepter to you, then you have an answer of peace. But if not, you're finished. But you better don't come to the king unless he calls you, you know. So she said, pray for me that I may get an answer of peace. And so she went in before the king. And the king, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass, chapter 5, verse 1, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, glory to God, that she obtained favor. That's the answer of peace. She obtained favor in his sight. The king held out the scepter the golden scepter, you know, because it was one way or the other. If the king didn't call you and you went in there, you're a dead man, you know, or the king can give you an answer of peace by holding out the golden scepter. And she received an answer of peace. Listen to what he said. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of the kingdom. My goodness. And she didn't want the kingdom. You know, all she wanted was the life of her tribe to be spared. You know, but she got an answer of peace. Woo. And the king, God just put favor upon the king towards Esther. And he said, look, whatever you want, glory to God. Now you talk about an answer of peace. Whatever you want, you got it. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there was a man called Nehemiah, who was in the days of various captivities and so forth. You know, he himself, you know, was a cupbearer to the king, and he was, you know, he was saddened by the fact that, you know, Jerusalem and the temple and all of that were in ruins. So he was saddened. So he began to pray. He said, Lord, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and let your eyes be open, and thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. This is Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 5. Now I'm in verse 6. Let the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee night and day for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess our sins, which we have sinned against thee, both me and my father's house. You know, we have dealt corruptly. See, again, aligning himself with the sins of the people, just like Daniel did. You know, and he began to pray. Now I beseech you, Lord, you know, have mercy upon us. You know, we've done all these things. He began to pray. You know, and he said, look, Lord, let your prayer be attentive and give me favor before this man. Because he's going to go, you know, before the king, because he was the king's cupbearer. And as the king's cupbearer, you better not come before the king with sorrow in your face. You know, so it came to pass in the month Nisan, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1, you know, that he went before the king, Artaxerxes. And I took up wine and gave it to the king. But, you know, this time around, I was sad, he said. But he'd never been sad in the presence of the king before. And the king said unto him, why is thy countenance sad today? Same question like Joseph asked the fellow prisoners. I mean, you're not sick. This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So at that time, Nehemiah was so afraid, because you better don't have sorrow of heart when you come before the king, especially you are the cupbearer. You are the one supposed to cheer the king up. You can't come with sorrow in your own heart or your face. And so I said unto the king, live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city in the place of my father's sepulchres lieth in waste? The gates thereof are consumed with fire and all these things. And the king said, for what do you make request then? And Nehemiah said, I pray to the God of heaven. Well, let me tell you, folks, Nehemiah did not kneel down at that time. He did not, you know, begin to, you know, lament before the Lord at that time. He had a split second to pray that prayer in his mind. I just pray to God. His prayer, Lord, give me an answer of peace before this man. And if it please the king, he said, you know, and if I have found favor in your sight, do this and do this and do the other, and give me permission to go and fix up my city and so on. You know, and the rest of the story. And the king gave him an answer of peace. He asked for some specific things. Give me a letter, you know, to the keeper of the king's forest. You know, give me this and so forth. Let him give me timber, this and that and so forth. And the king, listen to this, verse 9, you know, verse 8, you know, and the last sentence in verse 8 say, and the king granted me an answer of peace. I put that there. According to the good hand of my God that was upon me. That was an answer of peace. The king gave it to him. Everything that he wanted. Glory to God. You know, so Ezra had the same experience, but I'm not going to go into that. Similar story. But let's read a few stories here in the Gospels of some other people, you know, that, you know, actually got an answer of peace from the Lord. You know, there are two stories here. These stories are in several parts of the Gospel, but I chose these ones. In Luke chapter 7, there's a story here in from verse 47 to about maybe 50. So, in this story, this woman, you know, there was this man called Simon or whoever, you know, that invited Jesus to his house. And this woman came and was, you know, washing his feet, anointing his feet, and doing all these things. And people were looking and saying, look, you know, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman, because this woman was a harlot, you know, and Jesus didn't even say anything. So finally he said, look, you know, ask man, look, a man had, you know, a certain creditor had two people that owed him money. The one owed 500 pence and the other owed 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them would love him more? And then the man said, well, you know, I believe the one that he forgave more would love him more. And the Lord said, well, you have rightly judged. So he said unto him, I looked to the woman and said, look, do you see this woman? I've entered into thy house. You gave me no water to wash my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears. She had wiped them with her hair. And you gave me no kiss. This woman kissed my feet and so on. My head you did not anoint. This woman anointed my head with oil. Therefore I say unto her, glory to God. This woman now is going to get an answer of peace from the Lord. Now this woman, I mean, she probably condemned. I mean, in the eyes of the Pharisees, in the eyes of the Sanhedrin and all of them, this woman was a sinner. Should not even have come close to Christ. They said, look, if you're a prophet, you should have known what kind of woman is this that's touching you. And the woman said, her sins. I mean, Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. Woo! Because she loved much. My goodness. So he turned to the woman and said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And now the people began to say, you know, who is this man? Forgive us sin. They didn't know who he was. So she turned to the man. So Jesus said to the woman, go in peace. That's an answer of peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Well, we don't even know that she had any faith, but Jesus recognized that those works were works of faith. In her heart, she probably was just begging the Lord for mercy. You know? And she was doing those things. Now, you know, so you don't know what, you know, what's going on in anybody's life. You know, it's between the Lord and them. Don't be on the outside just passing, you know, condemnation, judgment and all that. Hey, this woman was condemned. The same thing in John chapter 8 of the woman that they found in the midst of adultery. And they brought her and said to Jesus, look, this woman, according to the law of Moses, should be stoned. But what say you? And of course, Jesus, he answered them nothing, but he wrote on the ground with his finger. And then when they said some more, then he said, look, the first one of you that has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And then he wrote some more on the ground with his finger. And one by one, they were convicted. Why? Because Jesus probably wrote their name, the sin that they committed on the ground. I don't think he was playing with the sand. Do you? The same finger of God that wrote those 10 commandments probably wrote each one of those people what they had done and, you know, exposed them, put it on the ground, and they looked at it. They were convicted. Then they went out. And then the woman was there, nobody else. And Jesus said, where are your accusers? And she said, well, Has no man condemned you? Said nobody, Lord. And Jesus said, look, neither condemn I you. Go in peace and sin no more. Ooh. Now you talk about an answer of peace. You talk about grace when you are already condemned. This woman, she got an answer of peace. Now that's different from the way the church handles the business today. The church will say, the church turns it around. They say, well, don't sin anymore, and then you will not be condemned. No, Jesus said, no, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. First, the woman got an answer of peace. And then Jesus told her, go and sin no more. You talk about an answer of peace, the thief that was on the cross, who said to his fellow, why are you chiding this man? He has done nothing wrong. We deserve these things. But the other one said, look, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us. You know, and so forth. And he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You talk about, you know, an answer of peace when all hope is lost. This man was already condemned, crucified, dying, bleeding out. His last breath, he called unto the Lord. Lord, remember me when you get into thy kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and gave him an incredible answer of peace. This day, he said, thou wilt be with me in paradise. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. There was this woman also. You know, this story is in many parts of the Bible. You know, so this woman, this is the story of who touched me when Jesus said, somebody touched me. This woman with the issue of blood. And then when she came, finally, she knew that she could not be healed and that she had been discovered because Jesus knew that virtue went out. She came before him trembling and told him what she did. And the Lord gave her an answer of peace. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, to her in verse 48, say, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Now that's an answer of peace. There are many places in the Bible, you know, that God gives this answer. But I'm going to wrap that up here because I've got to do some declarations here. So let me read to you one more thing here. Glory to God. In the book of, I am going to read, let me see. I think I want to read Isaiah. I want to read Isaiah. I'm not sure if that's the one I want to read. Yeah, I want to read Isaiah chapter 32. I want to read verse 17. And the walk of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You know, your life of righteousness in Christ will bring you peace. Your life of righteousness, I want to repeat that, will bring you peace. The effect of the righteousness that Christ gives you will bring you peace. We've read it. He will give you peace by all means. Again, he says in Isaiah, you know, chapter 26 and verse 3, thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Now, let me turn my attention to this room today. We've covered the subject of peace. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the eye of the storm, we've covered how that God wants you to have peace. Not necessarily will he immediately remove the problem, but he will give you peace. And this thing that I plagued you today, the Lord says to you, after 2 days, according to Hosea 6 verse 2 and 3, which is our text that we read at the beginning, in case you came in late. After 2 days, He will revive us. And in the third day, and ladies and gentlemen, is this not the third day of this month? In the third day, he will raise us up. I said also at the beginning that this is the third month that we did this room. And I covered all the process, how we've gone month to month, and how God gave a prophetic word each month. And here is the one that he gives today. On this third day, after 2 days, he said he will revive us. And I know God's been quickening us these last 2 months. And now, in this third day of this month, he will raise us up. So I turn to you today. If you have a situation that resembles any of these things that I've talked about today, I say to you in the name of the Lord, this is a prophetic release moment now for you. The Lord gives you an answer of peace even today. And you can say amen to that. Hallelujah. Type your amen in the chat if you are in the listening lounge. The Lord gives you an answer of peace. Go in peace today. The troubled waters, I speak to them prophetically today in the name of Jesus. Peace, be still. Glory to God. Now, let the troublesome and the proud waves, that's right. Let the proud waves that have tried to swallow you up, I command them, peace, be still in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the Lord grant you peace. Even in the situation and beyond that, let him lift up his countenance upon you. And as a matter of fact, he said he will raise you up. He will raise you up. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, he raised me up to walk on mountains, walk through stormy seas. You know, and I am at peace. I am strong when I upon his shoulder. He raised me up to be more than I can be. Glory to God. I pray for everyone that's in the hearing of the sound of my voice today. The Lord raise you up this morning in the name of Jesus, even as he has said that he will raise you up on the third day. Hallelujah. He raised you up to more than you can be. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. When I am down and my soul is weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I know that I can be here in silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Father, Lord, raise up everyone that's in the room, even on here this morning. The things like Hannah that plagued their soul. The things that they cried unto you night and day. The requests that kept them up at night. Lord, I say in the name of Jesus to everyone that's in this room, go in peace. The Lord grant you according to your own heart's desire. Glory to God. The Lord grant you your petitions. The God of heaven, your Father, grant you an answer of peace concerning the things that you are asking of him in the name of Jesus. Look not at the proud waves, saith the Lord. Look not even to the behemoth waves, but look unto me only and be ye saved. For in me you have peace. In the world, troubles on every side. The enemy, he comes to take away your peace, but he cannot. For the peace that I give is not of this world. And ye are not of this world. Therefore, rejoice in my peace, saith the Lord. For you will take root downward, and you will bear fruit upward. The light of my countenance will shine upon your ways, and you shall have peace. Peace on every side, by all means. Hallelujah. And I say unto you today, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stay on the Lord your God. Isaiah said, who among you is he that feareth the Lord and yet seems like he's in darkness? Well, he said, let him stay upon his God. This is Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who among you here today feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and yet walketh in darkness and seemeth that he hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him stay upon his God, and he will give you an answer of peace. Glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it this morning. The answer of peace is yours. And the answer of peace doesn't mean the problem is immediately removed. No, it just means that God has given you an answer of peace. Like Hannah, she still wasn't pregnant. It still took some time for her to be pregnant. But immediately as she received the answer of peace, her countenance changed. Because the light of God's countenance came upon her. The light shone upon her ways. The light shone upon her heavy heart. And in the face of all of the adversary mocking her and all of that, she had peace because she had received an answer of peace. And may the Lord grant you according to your desire this morning and grant you the answer of peace. And remember, the peace that God gives is not the peace of the world. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. Glory to God. Psalm 20 says, the name of the God of Jacob defend you, send you help from the sanctuary, and strengthen you out of Zion. The Lord remember your burnt offerings, even your cries. He said, my tears have been my companion all night long, and the Lord grant thee according to thy own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. Hallelujah. The Lord grant thee, he said. We will rejoice in the Lord's salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill you all your petitions and give you an answer of peace. Glory to God. I declare the answer of peace for everyone this morning. Peace in your marriage. Peace in your job. Peace in the marketplace. Peace in your life. Peace in your neighborhood. Peace around you. Peace for all the things that you are thinking the Lord. Peace over your children. Glory to God. He said, great shall be the peace of thy children. Hallelujah. We command that God of all peace, we command that his peace will come upon you. In the name of Jesus, the Lord give you peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.